Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. In your Bibles, the Word of Almighty God, the unchangeable, unalterable Word of truth, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. The great Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, about 100 years of age, the last of the apostles that had been with Jesus alive. He said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to read it again, starting with verse 7 this time. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to use for a subject tonight, is there really a hell? It's something that God has been dealing with me about for the past several weeks. Is there really a hell? Would you bow your heads? Father, as we minister today, I stand totally dependent on Thee. I trust not in any oratorical ability, should I have any at all. I trust not in any personality, should I exhibit any at all. I trust not in the flesh whatsoever, but my trust solely is in the Lord. Anoint this message. Anoint these people that are hearing, that are listening. Those that watch by television in many countries of the world, may they grasp and understand Thy word that's able to save them. And Father, give us a heavy conviction of the Holy Spirit. Help the truth like a mighty arrow to go to the very deep of men's hearts. And I'll ask it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen. The message that I believe God has given me tonight, I will be factual and honest with you. I take no delight in preaching it. I take no joy in relating this subject unto you. I will preach it with no glee or gladness of heart. I will preach it rather with a sadness of soul and spirit. A short time ago, a poll was taken in the United States concerning religious questions asked the individuals. Among those questions were these. Number one, do you believe there is a God? 95% of the Americans stated, yes, I believe there is a God. When asked if they believe there was a heaven, 84% said, yes, we believe that there is a place called heaven, that it actually exists. They didn't really know too much about what it was like, but they believed that some place of this nature existed. When asked if they believe there was a hell, 67% said yes, they believed there was a hell, but They were even less sure of what hell was like than heaven or God. When pressed further about the reality and the description of hell, it turned out that most, sad to say, treated it as little more than a joke. Some said it's a place where that most of the people will be in one party that will never end. It was laughed off, basically, accounting for little as nothing. And is this really what hell is like? Before I answer these questions, I want to pose a few myself. If this dread place exists, what does one have to do to ensure oneself of not having to go there? And that would be the thought, surely, in any mind or heart that believed in the doctrine of eternal punishment. What can one do to ensure his missing this place? There is an entertainer that has raised millions of dollars for a particular children's hospital in a southern city. He's world renowned. It's a noble work. And if one would think of this, these good deeds, this most excellent work that this distinguished actor has performed, would you say that this would ensure that he would not go to hell? There is another actor and entertainer that comes over television at least once a year to raise millions of dollars to combat a particular disease. It's a noble work. I commend him for his efforts. But when one thinks of this, do you think that the doing of this, as noble as it is to help the unfortunate, the sick, the suffering, the diseased, that this would ensure this distinguished entertainer and actor guarantee that he would not go to this place called hell and would go to heaven? As mentioned a moment ago, not too long ago, an American boy suffered a terrible tragedy in the city of Beirut. Scores of young Marines died, paid the supreme sacrifice to do their best to protect American interest, American policy on a far-flung field that turned into a catastrophic battleground. Those boys that laid down their lives for their country and our armed forces, in my opinion, epitomizes the height of patriotism. Would this ensure that those dead, sacred in the honor of this nation, would miss hell? The list could go on and on. Can there really be a place called hell? And if there really is a place called hell, could God, an august, all supreme, omniscient, all knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, an all powerful God, could he send an individual to hell? Now, most of the educational structures in the United States of America today, in this Christian country, is doing everything within its power to teach secular humanism, to foster secular humanism. Our schools are riddled with it. In the 1700s, almost all of the instructional guides in our public school systems was based on the Word of God. In the 1800s, about 50% was. Now, virtually none of the teaching aids in our public school systems are based on the Word of God. A handful of educators have succeeded in turning around a generation of young people that know not God and know not His ways. Secular humanism, which means there is no God, no supernatural deity, no absolutes, no eternal values, no morality, preaching situational ethics, is really the spawning ground for evolution. All communism, all materialism, all socialism, all humanism has to have evolution as its base, or it won't work. It has to have evolution that denies the existence of God. And some may disagree with that statement, but it is absolutely impossible for any sensible individual to believe in evolution and creationism according to the Bible at the same time. You can't do it. But evolution would say there is no hell because there is no judgment. There is no hereafter. Man is basically a materialistic being of matter that when he dies, that is all that it is to it. Now that's what the world and the devil want you to believe. They want you to believe there is no God, no such thing as sin, no judgment, no heaven, no hell, no eternity. You live, as one Russian told me the other day in Canada, you eat, you sleep, you breathe, you die, and that is it. No more. That is the most foolish lie that's ever been fostered off in the hearts and minds of a gullible public. Evolution is taught as a science and a fact in our school system. And neighbor, that angers me. I don't like something being taught as fact or science when there is no scientific fact to it whatsoever, period. Evolution says that, notice this, nothing working business, he can still set the captive free, lift men above the shadows and plant their feet on higher ground. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And last of all, hell is a place of memory and remorse. It will be a place with a memorization of wasted opportunity. I want to say some things now that will sound very harsh. As I was praying today, I thought, Lord, I don't want to say this, but I'm an evangelist. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm not running a popularity contest. I hope you love me, but if you don't, I'm still going to preach to you. Who's going to be in hell? All of us think if that horrible place exists, and take my word, not mine, the Bible, it does exist. We would like to consign that poor drunk that I mentioned, or that poor homo that I mentioned, or that poor doper that I mentioned to hell, and good riddance. And unless they allow Jesus Christ
to come into their lives, they will go to hell. But to be frank and honest with you tonight, most of the people that's going to be in hell will not be those people. Number one, most of the church members in Protestant churches today in the United States, Canada, and the world in Christendom, strong, harsh, condemnatorial, call it what you like, but most are not saved, most are not born again, most do not know Jesus, most are in churches, they claim to be religious, but they're not saved, and sad to say, horrifyingly, but they will go to hell. Hell's going to be full of Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans. Hell's going to be full of Assembly of God and Church of God, Nazarene and Pilgrim Holiness and Pentecostal Holiness. What are you saying, Jimmy Swagger? I'm saying I'm not knocking your church, but I'm telling you that church didn't die on the cross of Calvary for your soul. Jesus Christ himself looked at the Pharisees that were the religious hierarchy of their day, and he said the scribes and the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of heaven before you do. Secondly, most Catholics are going to hell. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? Jimmy Swaggart, that can't be. I'm faithful to the Mother Church. I pray to Mary constantly. I confess to the priest. I take the host on my tongue. I am faithful to the Mass. I do these things, and you're telling me I'm going to hell. You can do every last thing that I have mentioned. Confess to the priest 3 times a week. Put the host on your tongue. You can say the Eucharist. You can pray, Hail Mary, Mother of God. You can do it all, but until you find Jesus as your eternal Savior, you will never be redeemed, and you can only be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Does that sound harsh? Do you write me and say, quit picking on my church? If you curse me, if you hate me, if you despise me, you will not be able to stand before God and tell him with tears down your cheeks when he says, depart, I've never known you. God, no one told me. I did not know. I am telling you. I tell you with a broken heart. I tell you because I love you. It cannot save you, the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Presbyterian or the Lutheran or the Methodist. Only the blood, only the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
One religious leader the other day gave me a censorship award because he censored me. I was destroying, he said, the ecumenical spirit. And that same individual that said that about me, that's all right, but he would say the same thing about Jesus Christ. Most Masons are going to hell. I don't make fun of you, but you can wear your tall hats. Or funny hats. Maybe that's not you. Maybe that's the Knights of Columbus. I don't know who wears that stuff. And you can do the good works and thank God for the good works, but it won't save you, Mr. Mason. It cannot save you, Mr. Mason. Last of all, millions upon millions upon millions of good people are going to hell. Did you hear that? Good people.
Because you see, something in man says, I don't want you telling me what I've got to do. I'm all right.
I've meddled with some of you tonight. You'd leave, but you can't get out. You pay your debts. You work according to your regimen, your schedule, and you think that'll do it. I'm a good citizen. I don't lie most of the time. I drink a little bit, but not much. Have a good time, Christmas. There's nothing wrong with a little harmless fun. I'm good. It's got nothing to do with your salvation. The night my mom and my daddy came to Jesus so long, long ago, the first man that met my daddy when he got up from the altars, and my dad had fought it and rebelled against it, but finally said yes to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And a man, very successful businessman, put his arms around him weeping, called my dad Sonny because they'd been in business together, and said, Sonny, I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you. Because God was dealing with him too, but he wouldn't accept it. And as I say these final words to this message tonight, I watched that man. I was a boy, but I watched him deteriorate. I watched him fight Holy Ghost conviction, say no to God. Over and over again, I watched it. I watched him walk out of service after service. I watched him. And it was so unexplainable because he had such a tender heart. He started to drink so heavily. He started to staying blind drunk for weeks at a time. The doctor said, you're killing yourself. He lost this business, that business, that business, that business. Lost this home, that home, until finally he was living in a shack. He had a little boy, had the prettiest black head of hair that you would ever see. Solid head of curls. He was 2 years old, and he held to that child with a love like it was the only thing he had left, and the boy died. I remember standing in that little frame shotgun house, three rooms, one right after the other, in the front room looking at the little casket. I remember my daddy standing there, and they had been the closest of friends in years past. And I remember my dad putting his arm around the man's shoulder. And I remember the man's face that had once been softened under the gospel as it hardened, and he gritted his teeth and he looked up and cursed God. He said, I had nothing that I loved except that baby. And you took it. I hate you. It was like ice. He lost his mind after that. And I would see him stumbling down the road, a derelict. Once one of the finest businessmen in that county. Rich, but it all gone. Mumbling to himself, cursing one foul filth right after the other, over and over. When he died, his wife and his son stood on his grave and cursed him and said, I'm glad he's dead.
I'm glad he's dead.
I've thought many times, if my daddy had not come to Jesus, I might have been totally, eternally lost, as that man's sons were. He's in hell tonight. He'll be there forever. There is a place called hell. Would you bow your heads, please?